A manhunt after a deadly Florida daycare center crash.
Please turn yourself in. It's not worth it because we will find you.
Did a threatening phone call lead to the Pennsylvania school stabbings?
We carry the love for all the kids and the families and even for the person that did this.
And good news about a stubborn disease.
A turning point in the treatment of hepatitis C.
Good morning, I'm Peter King in Orlando with a CBS World News Roundup. A four-year-old girl is dead, more than a dozen other children injured, and now police here in Central Florida are looking for the man whose SUV hit a car and sent it crashing into a daycare center. Florida Highway Patrol Trooper Cindy Williams.
We know that he is trying to flee the area. We've had information that he might be trying to catch a flight out of the Orlando area, and we're working that lead right now.
Law enforcement officials say 28-year-old Robert Corchado dumped his SUV at a house near the crash scene, then rented another and took off. Witness Jeezy Jenkins saw the crash, some of the injured children.
The ones that I did see, seeing blood coming out of their mouths like their mouths had hit something or whatever. You know, they were bleeding out of their mouths, and there was other ones that weren't moving at all.
Five children remain hospitalized, one in critical condition, three serious. In Murraysville, Pennsylvania, vigil last night for the 22 people hurt in a knife attack at a high school.
If we can offer our prayers for those that have been affected, it's important to do it.
Now prosecutors say they'll charge 16-year-old Alex Rybel as an adult. This neighbor is stunned.
They have no problems with the kid. He's a good boy, you know.
And there are a few clues as to what set him off. CBS's Susan McGinnis.
The motive is still under investigation, but we understand that investigators are looking at a possible phone call that was placed between Rybel and another student on Tuesday night. No talk of him having been bullied.
Franklin Regional High School is closed until Monday. In Fresno, California, prosecutors say a man charged with 9 murders has confessed to at least 40. They say Jose Manuel Martinez says he carried out the crimes while working as an enforcer for a drug cartel. Oscar Pistorius is back in the witness stand for a fourth day of testimony in his murder trial. The prosecution returning to its case that the South African Olympian was reckless with guns, and reiterating that he killed his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp.
We know for a fact there were no intruders in your house that night.
That's correct, my lady.
We know for a fact it was Reva in there.
That's correct.
In the toilet. We know for a fact you had no reason to shoot.
That's correct, my lady.
As searchers try to beat the clock in the southern Indian Ocean, another sign that they may be closer to finding that missing Malaysian jetliner. Reporter Shannon Van Sant is in Beijing.
A fifth underwater signal has been detected, which could be from Malaysia Airline Flight 370's black box. The Australian Navy has been dropping buoys from planes into the water. The buoys are equipped with listening devices that are then submerged 1,000 feet below the ocean's surface.
A California cruise turns into a sick bay with at least 66 people aboard the Crown Princess getting ill, possibly from the highly contagious norovirus. Princess Cruise Line says those passengers are restricted to their cabins. The crew is disinfecting door handles and other common surfaces that can spread the virus. There's encouraging news about a liver disease that's been stubbornly difficult to treat. Here's CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
This is one of those moments in medicine when a clear turning point against a deadly disease is evident. At a conference in London, the results of important phase 3 trials of breakthrough hepatitis C treatments are being presented. The head of the European Association for the Study of the Liver says they'll show that by combining two or three drugs, even the most difficult forms can be cured with few side effects in nearly every patient. Dr. Gail Bauba of the Georgetown University School of Medicine, where one of the trials was held.
We've waited decades for a good treatment for hepatitis C, so it's just fascinating and amazing.
Unlike current therapies, these are taken orally and don't contain interferon, which can cause serious fatigue, anxiety, and depression. One serious drawback, they're extraordinarily expensive.
That's the biggest barrier right now, determining who should be treated and where resources will come from.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A House committee is expected to vote on whether or not to charge a former IRS official with contempt in connection with the agency's targeting of Tea Party groups. CBS's Bob Fuss is on Capitol Hill.
It will likely be a party-line vote today as Republican Chairman Daryl Issa asks his committee to bring contempt charges against former IRS official Lois Lerner. Issa wants Lerner held in contempt for refusing to answer questions at a hearing, even though she took the Fifth and was never offered immunity. The full House would have to vote to do that, and if that happens, it would likely end up in the courts.
Scientists say a small and faded document that refers to Jesus' wife is likely to be the real thing. CBS's Heather Bosch has more live.
The fragment of papyrus known as the Gospel of Jesus' Wife has been tested by professors of electrical engineering, chemistry, and biology at three universities. The conclusion, it's more likely real than a fake. They say it resembles other work written between the 4th and 8th centuries. It was unveiled by a Harvard Divinity School historian in 2012. Even she says this doesn't prove Jesus was married, just that the early Christians talked about things like celibacy and marriage, Peter.
50 years after the landmark Civil Rights Act, a civil rights summit this week at the LBJ Library, and the president's daughter talks about his legacy. CBS's Peter Mayer is in Austin, Texas.
Some civil rights veterans, pioneers of the movement, see a direct link between Lyndon Johnson's work for passage of the Civil Rights Act and the election of the nation's first black president. Lucy Baines Johnson agrees.
Daddy opened the doors of opportunity for all people of color. President Obama has walked through those doors because of his own competencies.
President Obama is expected to offer his own reflections in his most extensive public comments on the LBJ legacy in a speech here later today. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Austin, Texas.
Day one of the Masters finds most of the world's best golfers in Augusta, Georgia.
The biggest story on this first day of the Masters is who isn't here. Tiger Woods missing his first Masters since his first appearance in 1995. The golfers know it will be a different atmosphere. Phil Mickelson.
It's a weird feeling not having him here, isn't it? You know, he's been such a mainstay in professional golf.
And there is the reality that golf is slowly entering a new era. Rory McIlroy.
The Tiger effect on golf has been huge since the mid-90s.
Woods is still one of the best golfers in the world. Last year, he was named Player of the Year, but he is now 38. The injuries are becoming more frequent, and Tiger Woods hasn't won a major championship since 2008. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the Masters in Augusta.
Imagine being able to fly a plane without expensive fuel. WTOP's Andrew Mollenbeck says Navy researchers may have found an unlimited resource for the future.
Power from seawater. Not just an idea. Researchers have flown a model plane to show it can actually be done.
It was a milestone in our research to demonstrate that we could do this.
Heather Willauer is a chemist with the Naval Research Laboratory.
Potentially make jet fuel, you could make diesel fuel, you can make methanol, you can make natural gas, liquid natural gas.
The power trip starts by pulling the components of carbon dioxide and hydrogen from the seawater. They're converted to a liquid hydrocarbon fuel. Andrew Mollenbeck for CBS News, Washington.
Love or hate it, this year marks the 50th anniversary of this song.
It's a small world after all.
It debuted at the New York World's Fair in 1964. Today, Disney Parks plan a worldwide sing-along as part of a year-long celebration. That's a World News Roundup for April 10th. I'm Peter King, CBS News.